it's time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
And we're back here on a Getaway Friday, real Getaway Friday. It's Memorial Day weekend, the official kick off to summer 2020, which is going to be an interesting summer because the Ohio State Fair is canceled as of yesterday. And of course, we found out a few weeks ago the Marion County Fair is canceled as well. So we'll see how it goes. This is the Charlie Evers Show. Scott Spears filling in for Charlie Evers. And as all of you know, Charlie's been out for about a month now, just having an energy issue, not feeling quite up to par. But I know he's out there listening this morning. I visited him on Wednesday night. And as Charlie says, he's 85 years old, you know. He's been on radio for over 50 years in this town, and this is the first real break I think he's ever had in his career. So, Charlie, we're thinking of you. We hope you will be back, and we hope you're enjoying the time off. But, interestingly enough, if you listened to the program this morning, I was talking about hotcakes and how good they smelled, and I didn't order them because I didn't smell them till I got up to the window. And another broadcasting icon, so the paper tells me, brought in some pancakes today. And boy, it's fun because I was thinking the other day when I was with Charlie, I've worked with Charlie now for about 15 years, and certainly we haven't worked together the whole time, but Jeff Ruth and I have known each other. And I do want to, this is what you'll never hear on any other station. Jeff Ruth still has a show here in Marion that can be heard Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7.05 a.m. and 3.05 p.m. in the afternoon. Only 10 minutes, so you got to tune in quick, but don't miss it. It's definitely worth hearing. He has the health department on, the mayor on, and a lot of other community and civic organizations. It's great hearing it. 7.05 in the morning, 3.05 in the afternoon, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the Jeff Ruth program, WZMO 104.7 FM.
Tom will appreciate the plug.
Well, tell him I did that, and we will have real radio diplomacy here.
Can I put these on, or are these...
No, put them on.
Okay, I didn't know if they were disinfected, or...
Yeah, Glenn disinfects everything.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Glenn Kobel disinfects everything. So it's great to have Jeff Ruth with us here today, well, bringing in the hotcakes.
I got up at 9:30 this morning. It's the earliest I've gotten up this week. And I turned you on to see what you were talking about, and you had just talked about missing out on the pancakes. And
smelled good.
So I said, well, I'll just stop by. And you said you were about out of Diet Coke, too. So I picked you up some pancakes and Diet Coke.
You did. And this is the second week in a row for this. Not mm-hmm. the hotcakes, but last week you brought a sausage McMuffin, and... This is great. Now, Jeff, we all want to know how it's going, and I'm also going to start to eat these pancakes, so talk a little long if you want. Tell us about what's going on at WZMO three times a week.
Well, I do basically three interviews a week, and the mayor and the Tracy from the health department, they've been pretty much every Wednesday afternoons, so, and I can do the interviews from home, and I think of about two or three people a week to talk to, and this week I talked with Steve Badicher with the Senior Center just to find out if he had any idea when they might be coming back and what they've been doing. And he talked a little bit about the home or the meals and the transportation, that sort of thing. And then talked with Teresa Lubke yesterday from the YMCA, and she talked about when the Y is going to be starting to open back up and limited hours when they first start, and some things will be open, some things won't be open when they first start back up. So this week it was Steve, Teresa, the mayor, and Tyler Pigman from the health department. I can do them all at home. I call Steve, or Tom's got a studio at his house, and as I said, we have pretty much standing interviews. And so 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, Tom, are you ready? I got Teresa on the phone, and 10 minutes later, we're done.
Now, being that you're back doing these interviews during this coronavirus, because in the beginning you weren't, what have you found? How has this changed the world now that we're 50, 60 days into this thing?
No, the fact that nobody knows what is happening. You know, the first, you know, the masks didn't do anything. And then the masks do, you know, are helpful. Is it 6 feet? I've heard up to 12 or 13 feet. A couple days ago, what was CDC said that it now is not transmitted easily. It's very difficult to pick it up from surfaces. Before, you know, you got to wipe down everything. It's just, it's so frustrating for so many people. As I said, you know, it hasn't really bothered me other than the fact that, you know, I'm not eating out and we're not traveling like we had planned to. So it really hasn't affected me. But, you know, for those small businesses and so forth, last Friday when I stopped in, I was on my way to get a haircut. And I was talking with Kim, who does my hair but also is the owner of Sheer Perfections. And she talked about, you know, it was like, you know, you're applying for a mortgage. I mean, the paperwork that you have to fill out and the amount of hoops that you have to go through. And, you know, she was obviously looking forward to opening, but she was just so frustrated with the process as, how slow everything has been. And she hasn't gotten, I don't know what she's applied for, but she hasn't gotten anywhere near what she was hoping to get, you know, through the government.
We had Tyler Pigman on Tuesday as well, and what I couldn't understand was, and he said this is going to be the protocol for restaurants for the foreseeable future, you have to be 6 feet away, which means a lot of seating is being taken out in restaurants. And I was just thinking about the circumference. The two I thought of, I'll name them, and I don't know how they're doing this. I thought of Perkins, and I thought, now, if you have to seat people 6 feet apart, how many tables and booths possibly could you have open in there now? And then I thought of the bars in town, which are much smaller even than restaurants. How many people can you fit in a bar if you have to be 6 feet away and no entertainment during this?
No.
So how could you possibly cover your overhead with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We actually, when they announced that it was going to open up the restaurants for in-service or in-person dining, Brian and I like to go to El Campesino's. And so we called earlier in the week because we wanted to go out to El Campesino's yesterday. Well, they're closed for renovations, remodeling, so they weren't going to open yesterday. So I just wonder, you know, even though restaurants, like I drove by McDonald's today on North Main to get your pancakes, and even though you're allowed to have in-person dining, there was nobody there. I mean, the lights basically are out, and people were going through the drive-thru. So just because they could open up yesterday doesn't mean everybody did. And it'd be interesting to see, maybe some will open up today with it being a Friday, maybe with it being Memorial Day weekend, maybe people will wait and maybe open up on Tuesday. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what percentages of the restaurants actually were open yesterday.
What I found interesting is, and I don't know if you talked to the mayor about this, but when he was on Tuesday, we were talking about the rules for pools, and it's a 6 feet rule again, and a lot of things have to be wiped down, and yes, the pools can open, the governor has said that, but the mayor said the staff we would have to hire to clean, these are high school kids who we hire anyway. Are they going to enforce these laws? Are people going to follow them? Is it even worth opening up the pool, the aquatic center at least?
Yeah. I asked him, and he prefers obviously aquatic center over pool because it is more. But I specifically asked him about the aquatic center, and he said they haven't even started to hire, obviously.
That's a problem.
And this would be the weekend that they would open up. And he told me the earliest with everything that they would have to do would be June the 26th.
Well,
and, you know, when I was in school, maybe when you were in school, it was basically summer was from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Now, the city schools and a lot of the county schools, you know, they start up, you know, 16th, 17th, I don't know what date, but schools start up, you know, the middle of August now. So if you don't open up till the last week of June and you have to shut down basically the middle of August, is it worthwhile? He hadn't made a decision when I talked to him on Wednesday, but I think if they were placing bets in Vegas, I think most people would say no. The Aquatic Center won't be opening
up. Well, I asked him which way he was leaning because he said he wanted to make it by committee. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it lied with the decision lays with him. But he did want to talk to Mike Chaney. He did want to talk to city council because he said there was a city council member that was very adamant about getting it open. So, but his tone of voice, and this is just my opinion, was that it, because he gave a lot of reasons why it would be very difficult to do it. So I don't think it looks good, but maybe that's for the best. We don't want anybody to be sick. And when I talked to Tracy Kinsler on Tuesday, she said that cases are on the rise. So what do you do?
I mean, obviously, nobody has ever seen anything like this. Nobody will ever see anything, you would think, after this. Just the whole frustration. You know, Gene Smith was interviewed earlier this week. He can see Ohio State playing, but in front of 20,000 people or 25,000 people. You know, the fun of, to me, part of the fun of especially college athletics is the marching band and the fans and the tailgating and that sort of thing. If Ohio State says, okay, we're going to open it to 23,000 people, how do they, is it all determined on how much money you've given in the past? How many students are included in that? Is it all boosters and alumni? There are just so many questions to be answered.
What do you make of the fact, as I still understand it, that Major League Baseball, crowd or not, is coming back in July?
I don't know. They've been talking about that. I just don't know if that's going to happen. And they still haven't canceled the NHL season or the NBA season. I would have thought within the first couple of weeks, because in the NHL and the NBA, you have a lot of Europeans. You know, are they stuck here? They probably, for the most part, you know, they probably are. They haven't gone back to Europe because you don't know if you can get back. And I'm sure that they're anxious, you know, to make a decision. And normally, you know, the NBA season will end second week in June. NHL season, about the same thing. And then the season starts up generally end of September, first week in October. So if you start up again, say the middle of June with the playoffs, runs through what, end of July, first of all, then do you start the regular season at the same time you normally do? Do you push the regular season back? There's just so many questions. I'm surprised that they haven't canceled the NBA and the NHL seasons.
Jeff Ruth is the guest here this morning on the Charlie Evers Show. We're going to break for exactly 1 minute and come back. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Jeff, because high school sports are not going on, certainly spring, and who knows what's going on in the fall at this point. But somebody who follows sports and has followed it for many, many years locally, what school is this really hurting the most at this point? Who would have had the great softball team? Who would have had the great track and field team this year that obviously did not happen? We're going to come back in exactly 1 minute here on WWGH Radio. Don't you dare switch that dial.
Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Mm. Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back here. Scott Spears, Jeff Ruth filling in for Charlie Evers. And that's what you can't replace, so you just fill in while he's out. But I know he's listening. And Charlie, hello. Hope you feel better soon. Do want to let everybody know again that Jeff Ruth is back on the radio here in Marion Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7.05 a.m. 3.05 p.m.
Now, when you say 7.05 a.m., I'm sound asleep at 7.05 a.m.
So you're not doing these are not live. Oh, we should mention, these are not live.
Right, yeah.
Can't call in and, you know, win a prize. It's not that type of thing.
These are all recorded.
And we do say, that it, not facetiously, but this is a music station, and you're on for 10 minutes. So if you tune in at 7.15, you've missed the show.
Yeah. And when Tom had called me back first part of the year and wanted to know if I'd be interested in doing something, I said, well, yeah, I said, because, you know, I miss talking to the Steve Badichers and the mayors and the YMCA. I miss kind of doing that. And I said, call me after basketball season. So he did. And I said, yeah, you know, we can do something like that. And the original intent was I would be going to the YMCA, or I'd be going to interview Steve, and I'd do it in his office at the senior center. And obviously, since all of this has started, they're, you know, all by telephone. So, again, I block out about an hour and a half on a Wednesday afternoon, and that's it.
Let her rip.
Yeah.
Let her rip. Again, 7.05 in the morning, 3.05 in the afternoon. That's WZMO 104.7 FM, and then you turn it back here after that 10-minute period is over. But for 10 minutes, we'll allow you to go over to 104.7.
They play some pretty good music. I actually am
70s, you say.
Yeah, a lot of primarily the 70s.
Now, before we went to break, I know primarily you don't follow spring sports, but locally, being a sports director here for many, many years, who did not having a season at all this year hurt? What school really loses out?
Well, let me go back for just a moment, because when everything was canceled, it was the week of the state wrestling tournament. The state girls basketball tournament was that week, and then the boys basketball tournament was the following week. We didn't necessarily have anybody still around as far as basketball, but I know with the wrestling, it was a kid from River Valley. He was 51-0, and was, I mean, he was positioned to, you know, win a state championship, and, you know, rug was pulled out from under him. Pleasant had 5 wrestlers in the state tournament. That's the most they've had in years. And they were expected to do very, very well. And again, you never know. So, you know, with the spring sports, frustrating the fact that they never got started, but yet with the winter sports, you know, with the wrestlers or something like that, you know, to put all that time and effort in and say, okay, I got a chance to win a state championship, and then not even have a chance to compete, that had to hurt. I know River Valley, they've had a pretty good softball team the past few years, and they had a trip down to, I think it was either Tennessee or North Carolina, a spring trip, and they were going to be playing some really good competition from all over the country to kind of get them ready. Of course, you know, they couldn't make that trip. So I just, you know, I don't know as far as teams themselves. Pleasant normally has a pretty good softball team. Ridgedale and Elgin the last couple of years, they both have had pretty good teams. Track and field, of course, so much of it is an individual event, so maybe the school might not have a great team, but as an individual you might be a shot putter or discus or a high hurdler or something like that. And you know, I never really got a chance to kind of break down the spring sports, but obviously it hurts everybody.
Well, it's interesting because Memorial Day is the official kickoff to summer, as we always say every year, which means that really football season, which is the big money maker for high school sports, is really about 2.5 months away. Now, what we've heard from the governor is non-contact sports are allowed to play, so we don't even know if football will be allowed to play. But if they are, how do you operate with no fans? How do you operate with the concession stand having to be all switched up? I don't know how you do it.
And, you know, much like college sports, high school football pays for a lot of the other sports. And I can't imagine. I mean, this is still, third week of May. I still am hopeful that we will have a regular high school football season. Again, it's just that's the frustrating part. There's just so many question marks. I haven't wrapped my head around the fact that there's not going to be high school football this year. And I did talk with Tim Streed, who I've known for years. Tim went to Pleasant, and then he worked for the Ohio State in the communications department for a long time, and he's now the director of communications for the Ohio School Athletic Association. And I talked to Tim several weeks ago, and of course at that point, you know, they didn't know, but so much of the two-a-days and camps and the clinics and 7-on-7 passing drills, so much of the summer for high school football is made up of the coaching sessions and so forth. And August 1st is kind of the date that, you know, teams really begin practicing in earnest, and you'll start having the scrimmages maybe on like August 8th or August 10th, something like that. But again, if you don't have those camps and clinics and passing drills and so forth in June and July, and the period where coaches, you know, can, you know, be with you and coach your players, that's going to take a huge toll on preparation.
How good can a team be? Is it possible to come out there and just by osmosis be a good team?
If you're Pleasant, yes.
If you're Pleasant, okay. They got a record of that.
Yeah.
But other than that.
And a lot, you know, you can do on your own. You can still run, and you can have a couple of your buddies over, you know, and throw in the backyard, or, you know, maybe go to the high school and, you know, punt and kick and do that kind of thing. But unless you get the coaches involved, and, you know, if the, and so much of the, especially, say, high school football, the work is done in the weight room. And if the schools are shut down, obviously you can't get into the weight room. And that's where a lot of games are won and lost in that weight room.
Well, I keep wondering, psychologically, when I see people with masks on and staying out of places, is that going to be a forever thing? Are people always going to be scared now of the next disease that's coming? I don't know if it becomes a psychological thing, you know, when it goes on this long.
Again, we don't know. And again, I have hardly been out at all. I'll take a walk around the block. But this week it's been so wet, I haven't really even been doing that. Now, when I go to Kroger's, maybe once a week, I will put a mask on. But I didn't put a mask on to come in here today. And I don't have anything planned the rest of the weekend. Now, Monday, for those picnics and so forth, and the same thing with, like, the restaurants that opened up yesterday. Obviously, the servers and so forth have to wear masks. But if you are a patron, are you expected to wear a mask? Is that required? I'm sure each restaurant has their different set of rules. But if you go in and sit down, it's a little awkward to, you know, have your spaghetti when you're wearing a mask. So obviously you have to take your mask off at some point during the time you eat.
We don't know who and we don't know which, but now with the restaurants open back up inside as of yesterday, what percentage would you say are going to be able to still be in business by the end of this?
Boy, that's tough. I think a lot of restaurants probably were hanging on, hoping to see what the first week or two business would be like. And I'm guessing if the folks don't come out in the first few weeks after the restaurants are open, I think a lot of them are going to, unfortunately, shut her down.
I keep hearing the unemployment rate.
and the numbers there, you know, 18, 25, whatever it really is, how long can we sustain that?
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And who would have thought, you know, it's not a war. It's not an economic issue, really. It's a disease. Yeah. Who would have ever thought that?
It's a germ.
It's a germ. It's a germ.
Yeah.
I never would have imagined that something like this could have happened because nobody lived during the last one.
No.
But, it shut down life real quick.
Yeah. And, you know, I look at the airline industry because, you know, since Brian works for Delta, and, you know, they're at 60% capacity. They have shut down. He's still working, but they cut his hours considerably. And they're asking for a lot of people to take 30-day leaves, 60-day leaves, so forth. You know, when you're flying in, Delta now has, I believe, 5 flights a day. They've shut all their flights down to Boston, all their flights to New York, both JFK and LaGuardia. They have, I think, 2 flights a day to Atlanta, 2 to Detroit, 1 to Minneapolis. They used to do a nonstop to LA. They've shut that down. Had 1 nonstop a day to Salt Lake. They've shut that down. So when you were used to having maybe 35, 40 flights a day just from one airline, and you've gone from that to 5 flights a day, obviously you're taking a huge impact. Flights are no longer obviously full. A lot of flights are saying 60%, but a lot of the flights aren't anywhere near 60%. There might be, you know, 5 people on a flight. You can't operate like that.
I would think that an airplane, because I'm not overly cautious to the point to where, you know, I'll go to a restaurant. I would go to a restaurant. I don't wear a mask all the time. I know a lot of people don't like that. But I don't know if I would get on an airplane. Now, oddly enough, I would travel by car. I would do that because I can control the circumstance in the car. But I just don't know about an airplane because I don't know. First of all, you know, it's kind of empty. I don't know who's on there. And there's no getting off if somebody starts coughing or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're stuck.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would want to... I don't know. I wouldn't want to put myself in that place.
Brian has talked about next Thursday, because he gets Wednesday and Thursdays off. He's talked about going next Thursday, just flying down to Atlanta and then coming back in the evening just to kind of experience what it is like to fly now. You know, we're used to flying when the flights are full and they're bumping people and that sort of thing. And I think he wants to do it more so just to see what it's like to fly. You know, what kind of precautions are the flight attendants? The flight attendants obviously are having to wear masks. You know, before you could go in, you know, they'd always ask you what you wanted to drink, if you wanted cookies or whatever. Are they still offering those kind of services? Probably not.
Well, have they changed what you can bring on and what you can't?
See, that you know, all of that I don't know. So he's talked about, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but he's talked about just, you know, maybe taking a day, going to Atlanta, just to kind of see what the flights are like and what is different.
I just can't imagine what these industries are going to do, because I don't think you can bail out every industry. During the last economic crisis we had back in 2008 with the housing industry, you know, it was the auto industry that took the big hit. Well, everybody's taking the big hit now. You can't bail out everything.
No, no.
And I don't know how this plays out because we're still fairly early in this thing. It doesn't seem that way, but, you know, it's what, 60 days in?
Yeah, really, I think the 60 days, and again, maybe it's because I haven't...
Oh, we got a break here. We're going to come back here in 1 minute with Jeff Ruth. Stay tuned.
Scott, you know I love fruitcake so much that for me it's not just a Christmas dessert.
Oh, Charlie, I would not want it any time of the year.
Oh, Scott, you've not lived until you've had mashed potatoes and fruitcake, birthday fruitcake, graduation fruitcake, cream of fruitcake, and oh, the possibilities are endless.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, the Charlie Evers Show. Scott Spears filling in for the radio icon legend, Charlie Evers, who's out there listening. Hello, Charlie. Jeff Ruth is in today. Don't forget, Jeff Ruth can still be heard Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7.05 a.m., 3.05 p.m., 10 to 15-minute interviews, WZMO 104.7 FM.
I wasn't planning to be on today. I was just brought you some pancakes.
Well, and I appreciate that more than you can know. You know, it was strange because I'm not usually a pancake eater, but I went, you know, you drive in, you place your order, and when I got to that first window, I don't know what it was, but there was this smell, and it was clearly a syrupy smell. It smelled so good. And I thought, boy, that would, I wish I would have smelled that back at the window. So I'm glad you did that, and they were good.
You could have gone around and gone through the drive-thru again.
I could, but, you know, I don't know what time I would have gotten here.
Okay.
I wasn't running that late, but I might have made it. You're right, I should have done that. That's a good idea. Maybe stopped at the one on Main Street because I was coming down Mount Vernon Avenue. The long-term impact before we went to the break is what you were talking about on all these industries.
Yeah, you just, you know, and again, it hasn't impacted me because I retired, you know, last year. So I'm not maybe the person that can speak it on this very well, because I haven't lost any income. I haven't lost a job. I'm just, you know, not doing a whole lot right now. So I guess from that standpoint, I'm one of those fortunate people. But for those people that, you know, have, especially the small businesses or have employees that work for you, you know, like the Palace Theater, some places like that that had to make some really tough decisions on, you know, who do I lay off? How long are they laid off for? That's just, I mean, it's got to take a real toll emotionally on so many of these people, not only financially, but just emotionally and psychologically.
I wanted to talk a little bit about this because you know these people as well as I did, and some even better. Since Charlie's not been here, this is his show, we've been playing little clips just to keep his voice on the air because we know people like to hear Charlie, and we've got about 3,000 hours in the machine since he came here 6 years ago. And yesterday we played a clip of he and Marianne Michaels doing the old Exchange Club program. And Marianne's retired now, and Charlie is off sick at this point. But, you know, when you listen to them, what made that group of people, and you worked with both of them, what made them different? Because they, you know, over the years at MRN, over your 40 years, there's probably, you know, 100 employees that came through there. Why are the only ones we remember Madge, Charlie, and Marianne, and yourself?
Well, Marianne brought a lot of people with her to be on the air. I mean, Jim Ganahl, Jimmy Crumb, Doug Adair, Mona Scott. I mean, you know, for maybe some of the younger listeners, they might not remember, you know, some of those, you know, like Doug Adair, Mona Scott, whatever. But I mean, they were regulars on her show, and she knew so many different people, and she could get on the phone, make a phone call, would either do an interview with somebody. A lot of times, especially if it was Columbus or Dayton, where she worked for a long time, you know, people would come up and they'd spend 2 hours or an hour and a half on the air. And she just really made you feel like you knew her and you knew the people she was talking to. It was like, you know, somebody was going to have a neighborhood get together. Hey, come on over. I don't know anybody. That doesn't make any difference. Come on over. And just, she just made everybody feel very down to earth and like you were a friend.
You know, the thing about Marianne, because I worked with her pretty closely for a number of years, it was funny because I always thought Marianne was a little bit, and I mean this in the best way, of a contradiction. Because Marianne dressed, nobody ever dressed better than Marianne. I never saw her hair out of place, makeup always on.
As opposed to me.
As opposed to most people in radio, yeah. How we look when we come in. But Marianne came dressed for radio.
which most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Mary Ann, she was a great broadcaster, but she was the news director. That was her title when she was there, but she didn't have her nose up in the air like some news people do. She was the one who brought psychics to Marion Radio. Kay Frayne
mm-hmm.
was hers.
Kay and Jackie.
And Kay, yep. I was lucky enough to have both of them on yep. the show. And I stole that from Mary Ann. So she did not take herself so seriously. And the contradiction was, here you see this very well put together, educated teacher, television star, but yet she didn't mind doing psychics. She didn't mind doing car doctor. She did that stuff. And that was really a little revolutionary at the time.
And Dennis Garrigan, who, and did you work with Dennis?
A little bit.
Okay. Because Dennis did basically the way it was set up. Marion was the news director, but Dennis was sort of like 1 and 1A. And Dennis did the mornings as far as the news. And in radio, you know, that's the key gig, is to do the mornings. So Dennis did all of the morning, because Marianne wasn't going to come in at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No.
She called the fire department.
No. She had enough of that.
So Dennis did all of the, kind of the grunt work, and he got everything on the air in the morning. And then when Marianne came on, she did, again, would kind of follow up, and she would do some things in the afternoon. Of course, she had that that two-hour show from 10 to noon where she would have the different guests and so forth. But when I talked to Dennis, and Dennis is living up in New Hampshire now, but I had Dennis on that last week or so when I was working last summer, and Dennis said that they worked together very, very well. There was no clash of egos. You know, Marianne could have had that, you know, I've done television in Columbus, and, you know, and he said there was never, you know, any of that from her, and they got along very, very well, which isn't always the case when you have a situation like that.
Well, what I always found was the three that I said, Madge and Marianne and Charlie, I think people who didn't know them maybe thought they had an ego because they were big names and they were everywhere, but they didn't. Knowing them all personally, and at one point I had to meet them for the first time, I never saw any ego. I never saw, I was lucky enough to work with them all. Madge in her 90s, if I asked Madge to come out of retirement and do the charity ball, she was there. There was no ego involved.
Well, the first time I ever met Charlie, because I had been there a couple of weeks, because I was working evenings, and I didn't know Charlie when I first started. And then there was a week where whoever the overnight person was on vacation. So I had to do my first week of, like, midnight to 5:30. And Charlie, he'd come in at 3:30, 4:15 in the morning, even though he wasn't on it. But he had a corn cob pipe. And he used to smoke his corn cob pipe. And the first time I ever met him, he came in, he sat down. He had like the farmer's or the straw hat on, and
overalls.
And I'm thinking, you know, this is not who I envisioned Charlie Evers to look like. But he just sat there, you know, leaned back in his chair, and he smoked his pipe. And we just had a really good conversation. So I knew from that very first time I met him, I knew Charlie didn't have any kind of an ego.
No. And you know what is always great about Charlie is, and I saw a picture not too long ago, maybe his daughter Amy put it up on Facebook, when he was doing Buckeye Chuck, you know, if they gave him a sweatshirt, you know, goofy as it may have been, he would wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew he was going to be on television, because television really covered it in those days.
Yeah.
And he didn't care. And
I have a couple of those sweatshirts.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Now, did you get? Did they give them to you, or did they come from Charlie?
No, I think they probably made 10 or 15 for the staff or whatever. Same thing with the Peanut Push. They made some sweatshirts for the Peanut Push.
Well, when I was looking up the other day things to play here from Charlie's history, when you look at it, we're talking Peanut Push, which is still around. That's Charlie. Buckeye Chuck, still, that's Charlie. Lady Justice would not be there had it not been for Charlie. Evers Arena, that's Charlie. And just a over 50-year career on the air in Marion. I kid you about the icon thing, about the newspaper, but honestly, I mean, it is Charlie, is it not?
Sure.
If you're talking about broadcasting and Marianne.
Oh, sure.
That's who you're talking about. But what made him that?
Just he was down home. You know, he could be in the middle of a story or whatever, and somebody would call, and he'd say, oh, just a minute, and he'd pick it up, and somebody said, some straw burned in the guy's barn last night. And he said, I need, 20 bales of straw. Do you know where I can get it? And Charlie knew the answer to everything. And it was just, I mean, that was Charlie. He was as folksy and as down-home a person as there's ever been.
But, he has a little bit, and I know him very well now, but he has a little bit of a, and Charlie's listening. So, Charlie, let me finish this out here. He has a little contradiction, too, because he is everything you just said. He is folksy. Corn cob pipe, straw hats, and all that. You know, he didn't mind getting in the mud. But he's also the most curious person I've ever known. He, when he got his smartphone, he learned how to use it, and he did.
Charlie and I used to talk about that because when the internet first came out, and he was fascinated. I was scared to death of it. I'm still scared to death of it. I still don't have a computer.
And he's 20 years older than you.
Yeah.
Charlie emails. Charlie has a Facebook. He does.
And I don't even have a computer at home. And, of course, I don't have a smartphone.
Yeah.
I'm still using that flip phone. It's now 18 years old. I was scared, I guess, of making a mistake or breaking the computer or something like that. Last year, the last week I was, something would go on the computer. Hey, Paul. Hey, Randy. Come here. I need you. I was scared to learn a lot of that new technology. Not Charlie.
Nope.
I mean, he embraced it.
Well, and he does. Charlie has a Facebook page. Charlie has a smartphone. Charlie listens to this station on the TuneIn app. Charlie has an email. I didn't talk to Charlie on the phone very much because I either saw him here or we emailed each other.
We got what, a minute or two?
Three.
Okay. You've heard people say about go to the app store.
Yeah.
I asked Brian one time. I said, "Does Marion have an app store?" Because I wanted to check a couple things, and it's like, what? You idiot! And when I hear people say, go to the App Store, is there one, where is the App Store in Marion? Or do you have to go to Columbus to get the App Store? For a long time, I didn't even know what the App Store meant.
Because I remember when I was at MRN for 5 years, one of my duties was deleting your emails. Now, what is that about? I don't know if we ever talked about that. I just had to do it. I don't know.
I didn't know you could delete emails. And I had 20,000 emails that had never been erased.
20,000, and that's true. 20,000, literally.
And it hit 20,000, and then I got a message that I could no longer accept, the computer would no longer accept any emails. So I said, well, how am I going to get any emails? I don't know if I asked you or I asked somebody. I said, how am I going to get emails? It says, I can't accept it. The computer won't accept any emails. And it's like, well, how many emails have you saved? And I said, I saved them all. Well, how many is that? Well, 20,000. And after people got done laughing and saying how stupid I was, it's like, well, no, you got to delete some of your emails. So we deleted a bunch, but there were still a bunch that never got deleted.
And that guy, who was the guy who sent you the stories every day that you read on air? Because he would send you every day.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a lot from him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did he send them right up through the end? I always wondered if he was still sending them right up through the end.
He passed away maybe a couple of years.
Oh, did he?
Before I left, yeah.
One thing I want to ask you is, because people have commented on it, you and David Letterman, you retire after long careers, and you grow beards. What is this?
When they closed the barbershops and the salon, so I've always wanted, and back when I was in college, I had a beard for a little while. I said, well, this is a good opportunity just to grow the beard. So,
as simple as that.
Two months later, as simple as that.
Will you shave it off when this is over?
Well, see, the barbershops and salons opened up last week, and I was hoping that I could get a show, but they can't do the beards now, or at least where I went, they can't do beards. They can only do haircuts. So eventually I will, but I'm going to – I kind of like – not having to worry about shaving every couple of days.
You and Letterman, he says the same thing. We're going to take a break at 10 minutes. Listen, news, Tracy Kinsler will update you on the COVID outbreak at...
Am I sticking around?
Or do you want to?
I can for a little bit.
Stay around. We're having a good time here. Having a conversation. go get some cheese dip or whatever you're doing and come back. Jeff Ruth will still be here.
They keep calling me Marlo sometimes. I say, no, that's Marlo Thomas. I said, Marlo has the money. And Marla is after it.
When is it?